Okay, it's 5 o'clock. We'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Board of Adjustment meeting. This is our meeting on March 10th. Can we have a roll call, Lisa?
Falk.
Here.
Howe.
Here.
McElhenney. Stelt.
Here.
Gallagher.
Here.
Okay, if everyone has an agenda, if you don't, there's some on the podium, I believe, in the back. Correct, John?
Yes, sir.
Item two on our agenda is a review of the board procedures, and that's for you folks in the audience this afternoon, this evening. This is the Board of Adjustment. We're a five-member board. We're appointed by the mayor, and it's our responsibility to interpret the city zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. We hold public hearings, such as we're holding today, once a month. Applications are submitted to the city. The city, in turn, mails each one of the board members the application, and we go out and look at the site in question and then come prepared to the board meeting, such as we're having now, to prepare to make the final decision. We allow applications to speak, and we also allow any objections to speak. And if you do speak, I'd ask that you go to the podium in the back so that we get it duly recorded. It's the cameras are back there and also the microphone. With that in mind, we'll go ahead and go through the rest of our agenda. The board to review and approve the minutes of the meeting of December 9th, 2010. The chair would entertain a motion to approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion. It's been seconded to approve the minutes of December 9th. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The minutes of December 9th are approved. Item 4 on our agenda, the board to review and approve the 2010 Board of Adjustment Annual Report. We were all mailed that report, I believe. And the chair would ask if there's any changes, additions, or deletions. Anyone see anything out of the ordinary for that report?
The only thing I noticed was the number of the caseload quantities are going down from 1 year to the next, so it just is a good indication that our ordinances are probably getting more in line with what the expectations of the community are, and resulting in reduced issues in front of us. It's a good thing.
Have made some ordinance revisions based on the cases that have come before you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to compliment the board on the job, or the staff on the job they do, providing the board with the information and the packet. Very good job.
Very good.
And we need to approve that. So
make a motion to approve the board annual report.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. It's been seconded to approve the Board of Adjustment annual report for 2010. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve the annual report. Item 5 on our agenda is the election of officers. Every year, beginning in the new year, we have to elect the chair and the vice chair of the Board of Adjustment. We do that every year. If anyone has any comments, feel free to make them at this time.
I guess I got to express my gratitude and a great job on the current chair and vice chair, and would probably support renominating you for another year.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to keep the same chairman and vice chairman. Kathy McElhenney is our vice chair, and she's absent today, but I'm sure she will accept. Anything else? We have a motion. It's been seconded.
I would make a motion to that effect.
Okay. And
second.
Second by Norm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. The motion to elect officers is completed. The last item on our agenda, this is what all of you are here for. Item 6, the board to hold a public hearing on the following item. A, case 11-009, lot 1, Hunter Meadows Commercial Park, 2nd edition, southwest corner of 53rd Avenue and Falcon Avenue. This is a C2 district. A request for a special use permit to allow drive-up windows submitted by McDonald's. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site, as you said, is located at the southwest corner of Falcon Avenue, 53rd. It is highlighted in yellow with the graphic being displayed before you. McDonald's Corporation is seeking to build a restaurant at this location. This is the tentative site plan. As I say that, it has not gone through the site plan process yet. That is a phase which will take place after your action. All of the items that are associated with the site plan, buffering, location of the building on the lot, setbacks, number of parking spaces, all of those items will be addressed during the site plan review process before both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council. This evening, we were simply discussing the request for the drive-up window. The drive-up window is being requested to be on the west side of the building in this area right here that I've just highlighted for you. Approach to the site would all be from Falcon, and that is to alleviate any traffic burdens or congestions on 53rd. Stacking for 13 vehicles is provided, and any overflow of those 13 vehicles would be on site only. Staff is of the opinion that customers seeing that there's actually 13 vehicles waiting at the drive-up window would probably opt to either go in or come back at a different time. However, in the case that that's not true, any overflow stacking would occur on site, as you can see where the red arrows are. 10 vehicles can be stacked facing either east or north, which has them facing away from the residential property adjoining this area. In accordance with the code, staff evaluates 9 standards that are defined for special use requests. And those 9 standards are displayed before you. I'm not going to be reading through the entire code, as we're all aware of that this evening, but I will briefly give you the Reader's Digest version of staff's evaluation of those 9 standards. This proposal is designated in section 1523 of our code. States that a drive-up window is an allowed special use in this district, and therefore it meets standard number 1. Standard number 2, section 1522.1EE lists restaurant, eat-in, or carry-out as an allowable use, and therefore the proposal complies with the applicable regulations of the C2 zoning district which apply to this lot. For standards 3, 4, and 5, they all relate to site plan evaluation. The City of Bettendorf has established an elaborate review process, and it's defined in section 1892 of the code, which allows the public to have input at 2 separate public hearings for the site plan, 1 at the Planning and Zoning Commission and 1 at the City Council meeting. The location and size of the proposed use must comply with the site and structure requirements during that process, which is enumerated in section 1627 of the zoning ordinance. Other commercial uses in this area, in the adjacent C2 area, includes Frank's Pizzeria, Burke Cleaners, Blue Crush Tanning, Tarpon's Martial Arts Center, Salon, Halo, Charm Boutique, Olive Tree Cafe, Sensation Restaurant, and Seeds Earth Food, Red Crow Grill, and restaurant, and the BP gas station. These uses are similar to intensity as to the proposed use, thus this use is in harmony with the businesses that are already established in this commercial area. Access to the site, as previously stated, will be on Falcon only to alleviate congestion on 53rd. Regarding the standard number 6, the future land use designation for this lot and the surrounding area has been defined as commercial. The commercial zoning for this lot has been in place since 1985, while the residential zoning for the adjacent area, south and west, was established in 1992. Therefore, there has been always an expectation that this lot would be developed as commercial even before the adjacent residential development occurred. Therefore, from a future use and zoning perspective, there has been every expectation that this lot would develop with a use consistent with the uses allowed in the C2 zoning district. And again, the proposed restaurant is an allowed use in the C2 zoning district. The proposed drive-up window area is separated from the parking area as it was shown. And based on the observations at other McDonald's restaurants, staff has observed that there are basically three different rush hours, if I can use that term, for these types of restaurants. Just before work in the morning, afternoon's the biggest one, and to a lesser degree after work for evening. All of these occur during the daylight hours, and the vast majority of the time the stacking occurs during those three rush hour times. The applicant has chosen a new upscale design for the restaurant, which is more aesthetically pleasing and blends better into the area than did earlier designs for these types of buildings. The applicant has held a neighborhood meeting to hear the concerns of the surrounding neighbors, and as a result of that meeting, the applicant has acquiesced to provide a 25 by 68 foot green area to the southwest corner in addition to the berm which is already in place, and to install a privacy fence on the west and south sides of the property, and these concessions are above and beyond what is required. Previous approvals for special use in the adjoining commercial area is being displayed for you. A drive up at the southwest corner of 53rd and 18th, that was for a Center Credit Union. Drive up window south east corner of 53rd and 18th for another bank facility. A drive up window at the southwest corner of 53rd Avenue and Brentwood. Back then it was country style ice cream. It has now been converted over to Seeds. An interpretation by the board that allowed Frank's Pizzeria, as shown on the display before you. All of these are approvals are in the same contingent area as the approval before, or as the request before you. The separation issue between the proposed restaurant and the surrounding residents the nearest portion of the proposed restaurant would be approximately 200 feet from the nearest resident. That is at 5177 Dove Court. Frank's Pizzeria is approximately 110 feet from the nearest resident. Burke Cleaners, 100 feet from the nearest resident. Northwood Steakhouse, 150 feet from the nearest residential structure. Crow Ridge Plaza, 130 feet, and Seeds, 180 feet. And then the multi-tenant retail structure with BP gas station is 85 feet away from a residential structure. Again, this one being 200 feet. There are no other special uses that have been denied for this lot. Staff had no further recommendations. And standard number 9, again, it does correspond to the future land use and zoning, and it is consistent with the comprehensive plan. For the members of the audience that are here, normally we discuss hardships that have to be displayed. That's for variances. That is not a requirement for the special use. Based on the totality of the analysis, staff recommends approval of the drive-up window. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comments? K.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Ted Ravitzer. I'm with Quad Cities Iowa Realty representing McDonald's. We have two representatives from McDonald's, Richard and Ross, here that can answer any related questions as it relates to the operation. We think staff did a great job in describing the entire project. Want to just call your attention that the building that's shown here, if you were to remove some of the branding elements of McDonald's, literally is a carbon copy of structures located within the area, such as Century Insurance, the ORA, Russell Construction, Century Insurance, I believe, E-Serve, Merrill Lynch, and so the same type of building materials are used in there, which is really conducive to the neighborhood. We did have a neighborhood meeting. The plans that will be submitted at that time will incorporate some of the neighborhood's concerns, and those will be submitted to Planning and Zoning next week. We've also done, and again, this is not related to a hardship, but you know, one of the concerns that many neighborhood residents may have is that development impairs the value of their property around it. I've got a spreadsheet here of 9 homes that have sold in the direct vicinity of the strip center, Crowbridge Plaza, the BP station called out on the site, and Frank's Pizza. And in each instance, neither of the homes have sold for less than what they had previously. And in one instance, there was a value that was a little less, but that related to a relocation buyout, which Dave Falk could elaborate as to how those occur. But in every instance, the homes have sold for more than what they had previously. McDonald's does have a very strict operating guidelines, as their franchisees are to keep the property in very good condition. You know, in terms of picking up trash, operating a very tight, needy operation, and so we believe that McDonald's will continue to do this at this site here. If there's any questions, I can turn over the microphone to Ross or Richard for the board, and we also ask that if there's any questions or comments or inconsistencies with the operation here, that we have the ability to rebut any comments if there is any. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
One question, what's the intended hours of operation?
That is somewhat determined by the franchisee and their operations. As staff mentioned, they do serve breakfast, lunch, and a dinner fare, and so at this point, the hours of operation have not been determined, as best I know.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
My name's David Lundy. I'm here with my brother Curtis Lundy on behalf of my brother Tom Lundy's estate. That should cover the Lundys, but he owns a lot immediately west of Frank's Pizza. And we're here to tell you we're 150% in favor of this project, and we urge you that you move it on. It's we've been landowners up there for many years, and it's one of the premier intersections in Bettendorf, 18th and 53rd, and absolutely nothing's happened for a lot of reasons I won't go into right now, but you all pretty well know what they are. And it fits the zoning, it fits the land use plan, and after exhaustive examination by the city staff, they're recommending that it be approved, and I think I hope it's done. And the city ought to be thankful they have a, just like Tom mentioned, a staff of caliber of what we have, Bill Connors and Greg and John. They do a super job, and once they analyze it and it's all done objectively, not subjectively like you hear from the stands out here, it's your work's made a lot easier because they do all their homework, and I think it's great. So we would vote to, we would hope that you would vote for it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor? If not, anyone wishing to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good Evening. I'm Dave Burnchin. I live at that 5177 Dove Court.
Closest one, right?
Yeah. Our land actually physically touches and abuts.
Right.
The proposed development. Lived there since 1994, and our nine-year-old son is here to watch this and learn. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the film The King's Speech. That's me. I'm a stutterer, so bear with me. You guys sitting real close, be careful. I might have to spit out a word or two. But, and I understand I could have had this read into the record. And it could be embarrassing to stand up here and speak, but I think without hearing me speak, you won't hear the passion, the tone, the conviction I have. Not just toward my house, but the city of Bettendorf. And I thank you for your patience. And, you know, you need to give me assist at any time, just jump in. I hope I'm prepared, because I was looking at your results, and I see in the last 5 years, man, I got a daunting task ahead of me, because no special use permit's been denied. So I guess I got to do a good job. I've spent a lot of days reviewing the code, which is really great for people who can't sleep at night. Although our website's fantastic with the code, the map, and everything that's on it. And throughout the code and the comprehensive plan, which is out there too, the word intent shows up often. And I think it's a very important word because it allows people to envision what might have been intended in a document. We hear this all the time. I mean, we can't cover everything in code. We can't cover everything in the Constitution. I mean, we're always talking about what did the people who framed our Constitution intend? Because they couldn't have envisioned where we're at today. So I don't know if your board's the appellate court or the Supreme Court. But we're here to, I guess the council is the Supreme Court, but we're here to discuss, I'd like to discuss the intent of the code, because it just can't all be written, and it is subjective to a certain extent. So let's start with the intent, and I looked at section 2.3, which is about you guys and what you need to do. And you guys get to grant or deny this, and the special use, if you grant it, must be in harmony with the general purpose, intent, and spirit of the ordinance. And then as indicated in the next subsection, it says that even if you believe the developer warrants an exception, let's face it, an exception is not the norm. Or as the saying goes, it's the exception to the rule. You have to consider, even if you believe they warrant an exception, you have to consider that the surrounding property will be reasonably protected. And it makes me wonder why we just don't abide and play by the rules. Before making any exception in 23.5 or somewhere in there, you need to first determine that, I think it's in subsection E, that it will not unreasonably diminish or impair the established property values within the surrounding homes area. Now, if you do an internet search on this stuff, you know, I know there's a spreadsheet, I guess, of homes around here. If you do an internet search and you look, you just got to key it in, you know, what's the effect of commercial development when it directly abuts? It's not nearby or down the block, but physically abuts a residentially zoned thing. There's a negative spillover effect on nearby home owners. You also see where some towns in Texas require commercial developers to set aside a mitigation fund in order to compensate surrounding homes for the negative impact to the value of their property. That's in Texas. And in 2000, the voters in Portland approved a property rights measure which would allow anyone whose property values have been reduced by zoning or land use regulations to ask the local government to either compensate for them or to waive the rules. Like I said, we're not across the street. We're not, you know, down the block. We actually physically touch. You need to ask yourself why this developer should be given a special use, not an allowed use, but a special use exception, where he hopes to profit when adjoining homeowners who have paid their taxes for 16 plus years stand to lose property value. It's not a win-win situation. When you are you need to consider whether the special use permit will alleviate a hardship for the one applying for it. You need to also consider whether you will be creating a hardship for the homeowners that live next door to them by not reasonably protecting the surrounding property. So that's the part I read on Section 2.3 to Board of Adjustment. Then I kind of jumped into, oh yeah, you also got to be concerned, I forgot, with the public health, the comfort, the safety, and the welfare. I think that's in 23.5F or something like that. I can tell you, we've had a lot of people who, you can see them coming out of Frank's, you know, the family goes out to eat there. Parents want to stay and finish their food, have a drink, whatever, and the kids are sent outside to play. And they go to these commercial lots, and they play out there. And they're attracted to that. The restaurant attracts them to there, and then they go outside afterwards and they play. The people who come to McDonald's to eat, you know, it's going to attract them. Their advertising is known to target young kids to eat, to come there and eat. And I think that we got to be concerned about, you know, I don't have a fence in my backyard. I don't have a dog like some of the people around me do. And it's no problem at all for them to come from a commercial lot next door and from where they're at and enter onto my backyard. Section 15, all about this code stuff, this 15.22, like what's allowed, and 15.23, like what a special use is, and stuff, you know, it gets pretty confusing. You know, you look at 15.22 and there's tons of things that are allowed. And let's face it, not all C2s are the same. They're not the same. You can't compare a red grill, or red crow grill, excuse me, thank you, to a McDonald's. You can't compare this Charm Boutique, which is open just a short time each day, only 5 days a week, to a McDonald's. I've gone around there at 5 o'clock, take pictures. They're not the same, but it's very confusing code because 1522 doesn't really explicitly say you can build a fast food restaurant there. 1526.3 lists a restaurant drive-in as being expressly prohibited use. But then you can go around again to 15.23 and say we can get a special use permit for a drive-up window. And circular thinking here in a way. It doesn't allow you to have one. It tells you you shouldn't have one, but you can have a special use permit for a drive-up window. So I think the code is very confusing. But I think if the intent of this code, again, the word intent, was to permit a fast food restaurant, then why not just simply include it in 15.2300 or whatever, where all the allowed uses are, if that was the intent. I don't see all these hoops we got to jump through. Also, throughout the city code, in Appendix B, you'll find a lot of examples where more intensive zoning district must take extra steps to minimize effects to an adjacent, less intensive district. You see it everywhere in the code. You see it in 18.66, where they talk about the more intensive district needs to maintain a larger buffer yard and construct an opaque wall that would completely obscure the view of the noxious use from the neighboring property. In the McDonald's case, that would require a really high berm and a really high wall. Also, even in 15.27.4, that same section 15 on C2, it says if you're going to butt a residential district, you need a rear yard. None of the other districts, if you abut, you need a rear yard. But in C2, if it abuts an R2, you got to have a rear yard. And 18.12.5, pole height shall decrease near property lines in low-intensity use areas to reduce the glare. Now, these are just a few of where I believe the intent is saying that the unintended consequences of permitting C2 property, even without a special use permit, adjacent to R2 homeowners was never the intent of this code. We won't put all these extra provisions in there. I think that clearly the intent is to minimize the harm to a less intensive district, and you also read that in your comprehensive plan too. Now, the consequences may be unintended, but they're certainly not unanticipated. So please do not grant an exception to the intent and the spirit, which I think is part of your guys' job, to make sure the intent and spirit, they all agree, they're in harmony. And please remember, when I say adjacent or nearby, I mean we touch. We're not across the street again. At the open house last month, I asked Bill and Ted here a question. I didn't ask it right. I just said, you know, where else in Bettendorf is there a fast food restaurant that has a home in its backyard? And they said, oh, the BK, Devil's Glen. So I took a ride over there. That is a private, unpaved drive that leads to a couple of homes that certainly don't resemble the residential district and subdivision of Hunter Meadows, where we live. So I thought, something's wrong with this picture, you know. So again, I use our wonderful website online, went and looked that up. That's not R2, it's A2. And so now I'd like to rephrase the question and say, where in Bettendorf does a similar fast food drive-in have R2 property adjacent to it? I'll admit, I'm not sure. I've looked at the zoning map as much as I can, but where do we have a fast food drive-in adjacent to R2? And I don't want to buy into this Seeds country style store there. You know, they are across the street. They don't physically touch, but more so, their drive-up, you know, just like no C2s are all alike, no drive-ups are alike. Third drive up, you drive up like you do the coffee shops to a window, and you talk to someone, you get something. You know, you don't have these squawk boxes in the back. Hi, welcome to McDonald's, that, you know, can carry quite a good distance, actually. You know, the drive up window is probably less of an issue than the squawk boxes are in the back. Now, I know the code can't cover every situation, like I said, but I said, clearly, when you look, there's no restaurant like this now, and you look at what those A2 is that's behind the BK, I don't think the intent is to make exceptions to allow this to occur. Now, getting back to a point John brought up. John, right?
Yes.
Yes. Our property was rezoned R2 in 1992. And in a previous discussion I had with Patricia Malini, a council person, our old one, about another issue, we discovered that our property, where our homes are, was initially zoned C5 as part of Hunter Commercial Park. The C5 district, as you all know, is an office transitional district that's used to buffer the abutting and surrounding residential districts. The district is normally small in size, located as a buffer between the residential and commercial. Our lots zoned to C5 would be a buffer between the homes that live on the other side, or on the west side, on the south side of Lindenwood and the west side of Dove Court. But in the early 1990s, a developer, I believe his name was Doyle McCulley, couldn't find a market for commercial property, requested a rezoning of some of that to R2. So it's kind of like you got C2, C5, and then R2, and a buffer. That was clearly the city's intent. And they took the C5 out. And most people I've talked to that look back at that believe that, you know, no one here today is responsible for that. We're not trying to assign blame here, but most people I talk to today seem to think that was a mistake to remove the buffer. And in your new comprehensive plan, you wouldn't do that. So I think we should endeavor to mitigate again the unintended consequences of that rezoning in 1992. Instead, we're once again being asked to kind of skirt the zoning ordinance and allow a special use in place of an allowed use by granting a permit, again, at the taxpaying expense or the taxpaying homeowners' expense who have abided by this rezoning since the early 1990s. Now I'd like to talk about what John brought up, the staff review, or those 9 points in 23.1, or 21.1, excuse me, 21.1, subsection E, the standards. But I want to back up a little bit to 21.10, subsection A, where the purpose of the special use permits are covered. The city has established districts where they would like to use the land in a uniform way. However, there are special uses which are unique, but still can only be properly classified to be particular to a particular district. And then in quotes from that section, upon consideration in each case of the impact of those uses upon neighboring land and of the public need for that particular use at that particular location. So the purpose of the special use, you know, with neighboring land, you've got to consider the impact upon the neighboring land, and you've also got to look at, you know, particular use at that particular location. So clearly, because I sent this question around to neighbors all around us, I can provide you with their names and their answers. But clearly, many feel that there is an impact of this use upon our land. And really, I'm unaware of any evidence of a public need for this use at this location. So I think the problem's solved. We approved this, but put it somewhere else. You know? We feel our home values will go down, that there's really no public need for McDonald's at the proposed location. Now, the staff analysis of the standards, you know, number 1 and 2, where it talks about the code and all this stuff. Again, I just go into, I think that whole 15.22 and 15.23 and 15.26 is a circular loop. It's just a never-ending loop. It's allowed, it's prohibited. Let's give it a special use. And if the intent was to allow McDonald's and similar restaurants to be there. Like I say, I think you would just change the code, like you did after Frank's was built. After Frank's was built, you added 15.22.1EE, which allows for the carryout, because that was a special use back in 1995. And so let's just, you know, I mean, if the intent, again, is to have fast food, I don't know why it's just not listed as an allowed use. And why we need to, because then we wouldn't need to go through this. And that is kind of in response to points one and two of the standards. Point number three, where John listed off all those places, and I'm not even going to attempt to, Blue Crush, the martial arts. There's a dance salon, a dance school there too, John. You might have missed that one. But to say that these uses are of similar intensity as the proposed use of a McDonald's, man, I don't really know where to start on that. I mean, I'd like to see whatever research and documentation supports that conclusion. I mean, I just look at the Red Crow and McDonald's. I don't see a similar intensity. I look at, like I said, this Charm Boutique. Because I called all these places up, I found out how many days a week they're going to be open, and how long each day they're open, and it's nowhere near. I know someone's going to speak, and they're going to give you a number that 70% or more of the restaurants, McDonald's restaurants around here, have a 24-hour drive-up. My brother used to run a McDonald's. He told me to get 2 days off a year. It's a 363-day-a-year operation, Thanksgiving and Christmas, for his 2 days off. So I don't think a similar intensity, I don't even think it comes close. Like I said, there's a lot of C2s, and they're not all created the same. And comparing a doctor's office that's open from 9 to 5, 5 days a week, to a restaurant that's open 7/24. I think that's a hard argument to make. You might want to compare McDonald's to BP in terms of size, but in this mix of businesses, McDonald's is the elephant in the room. Now we talk about the location, height, standard 4, and the park, how to park, standard 5. And like I talked about before, you need to remember two residential lots actually abut this proposed development, and all that code that says, man, you got to be careful whenever a more intensive property abuts less intensive property, especially if you carefully read Section 18 as it applies to landscaping and smell and glare from lighting and noise and screening. And again, the rear yard, and on and on and on. You know, we screwed up in 1992 when we took that C5 and kind of pulled him up as a transition. And I ask that we not screw up again. Number 6, that the proposed use will not cause substantial injury to the value of the property in the neighborhood. Well, first of all, I know they said down there they're going to add some extra feet, and there's a berm and stuff like this. There is no berm. Quite honestly, there's no berm. Go out there tomorrow, we'll look at it. Now, there's a berm between the lot behind me, who went up from them. It's probably 5 or 6 feet tall. There's no berm to this land as it is now. But will the property values go up or down? I didn't really see it answered in number 6. I saw it in the question. I never saw the answer. And it seemed like it kind of implied that we should have expected this because we bought these homes after the code was rezoned in 1992. I'll look at it later. That we should have somehow expected this. But just like the code got changed for Frank's, you know, a lot of things change. In 1992, when I looked at the code, I'm sure the special use permits weren't what they're like today. I know Frank's couldn't have a carry-out restaurant at that time. That was a special use permit. Now it's part of an allowed use. Our property values will decline. There are studies, like I said earlier, that will attest to that. And it's not like it's something that's off in the distant future when we go to sell our homes. It's right now. I mean, a lot of people have HELOC loans that are tied to the value of their homes. We've witnessed in the last 2 years how a lot of people, when the housing bubble burst, their properties went upside down with the decline in property values. I don't think the city has ever intended for that to happen, for them to contribute and to play a role in at our expense. Standard seven conditions have changed. No comment there. Yeah, the standard eight or whatever about the Board of Adjustments shall impose condition restrictions, and there were none that were recommended, no further recommendation. How about not 24 hours a day? How about like other towns have done, truck deliveries? My brother told me about this. They will occur at 3 a.m. in the morning. No truck deliveries except during the day. No garbage collection. Who wants to hear that backup sound, beep, beep, beep of the truck at 3 o'clock in the morning? Odor, noise, lights, screening. Like I say, safety. This little guy here, we have a ranch home. He sleeps on the first floor. People cut through our yard all the time to get to these commercial lots. They're not going to do anything to block access. And they're going to attract people. They're going to attract high-intensity use. Standard number nine, the proposed use is consistent with the comprehensive plan. I read the comprehensive plan. I know in the comprehensive plan it talks about a future development with the intent to preserve the health, safety, and general welfare of the public. I know a lot of other people are going to get into that. It also talks about a family-oriented and health-conscious citizenry. We were C5. We were a transition. That's what the city intended to do. They unintentionally removed the buffer. Do not penalize us and reward yet another developer today. I mean, if the argument was we should have expected this, like I say, the code wasn't the same then. So grandfather us into that code or something, like we grandfather in people all the time now for the storm water retention stuff. We don't ask people who've been on land for a long time. I know we've got special code now that storm water detention is a very important thing, and we grandfather people in. So anyhow, I read a lot of code. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to come up with anything to close with. The only thing I guess I would close with is I would go back to July of last year when Bettendorf was selected one of the top 10 towns to raise a family in. And Mayor Free Meyer was quoted in the Quad City Times as saying that in Bettendorf, it's all about family. And I respectfully ask you to consider these kids here. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I don't know what the proper protocol is. Since I'm here, can I say something?
Yes. Yeah, okay. You're welcome.
Just okay.
State your name and address.
Okay. I'm Julie Burnchin. I also live at 5177 Dove Court. It's my husband. I'm actually reading a letter from Mandy Brown, who lives next door to us. She and her husband could not be here tonight. They were lucky enough to have already begun their spring break. But she did want her words read into the minutes if that's permissible?
I can get the letter and actually put it in the file if they'd like.
Sure, I can.
You can submit it to the.
Okay.
To John, and he'll take care of that.
Okay. Should I? I can read it and then give it.
I'll give it up to them.
They can.
And I'll put it in the file for you.
Okay.
John, if she wishes to read it, she can read it, and then you can enter it into the file.
Okay, thank you. To whom it may concern, I am writing this because I cannot attend the meeting to discuss the special use permit for Lot 1, Hunter's Meadows Commercial Park Second Edition, submitted by McDonald's Corporation. I am strongly urging you to vote against this request for the following reasons. The land, which is right next to residential lots, is not intended for a fast food restaurant. A fast food restaurant in that location will decrease our property values. The smell of fried food will be a constant with no way to buffer it. The increase in traffic, noise, garbage, and lights will be a constant as well. Potential for rodents and other animals. Potential for an increase in crime, vandalism, and loitering. The high probability of other fast food restaurants being built in that same area. This lot was not zoned for a drive-through window for a reason in the beginning. It is located much too close to residential lots for it to be a proper fit. McDonald's can certainly afford to build somewhere else in Bettendorf where the neighbors would be other businesses that welcome more fast food chains. I am very concerned with the smell that will continually be present. For example, I was entering the Bettendorf Middle School for a basketball game a couple of Saturdays ago, and the smell of Wendy's French fries was overwhelming. The distance between that restaurant and the school is at least a quarter mile. There is no way to buffer or prevent that smell from traveling around with the wind. That would prevent us from opening our windows, enjoying our backyards, and the neighborhood will also be affected by gas fumes and noise pollution. This will not have a positive effect to our property values, and we are counting on the city of Bettendorf to protect their citizens from this unnecessary decision. I plead with the Zoning Board of Adjustment to deny McDonald's Corporation their request and respectfully encourage them to build along an existing corridor that is not directly next to a residential area. It may be a bargain for the lot, but is not the best decision for the residential development surrounding it. Our pockets aren't as deep. Our property values matter to us as well as our community that we are choosing to raise our families. Please encourage McDonald's to keep looking for a better location. Sincerely, Mandy Brown.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else?
I'm going to have to leave here like quarter after.
Now, we're running up against somewhat of a timeline, and I know that there was a lot of issues already voiced, so I'd like to keep from repeating a lot that was already said.
My name is Pete Molt. I live at 5131 Dove Court. I have a couple questions, and if somebody from the real estate or from the McDonald's itself can answer a couple questions for me. On attachment B and or attachment C, I don't know if we can show that on the screen. There is, as mentioned in the with the grass buffer, as mentioned in item number 6, for the proposed use will not cause substantial injury to the value of other property in the neighborhood. It mentions that in attachment B and C show a 25 by 68 foot long green space that will provide a southwest corner of the site closest to the residential area. I have a couple questions on this plot.
It section right here is what this is and what this is. And if somebody can answer that, I would appreciate it.
I assume the applicants can answer that question.
Okay. My name is Richard. I'm with McDonald's. That is a planting buffer that was asked for at a previous meeting of sorts, and that is to create a buffer between the property and the neighbor right behind there.
So you're referring to this segment right here?
Well, that is the trash corral, and then...
This is the trash corral.
Correct. And then that shaded area...
That's a building in the area. So this is a storage building, and this right here is where the dumpster is.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question. But,
sorry,
in that section six, it mentions the green space that is 25 by 66, which is smaller than the which is smaller than this room itself. Okay? But if you look at that drawing, it also mentions that the nearest portion of the restaurant is 200 foot from the nearest residence. Well, if that trash part and that storage part is not part of the restaurant, that's true. If it is, that's only 70 foot from the corner of the Birchin property. So I don't think that is correct, that's 200 feet. That's 75 foot away, which is closer than any of the other comparisons in that paragraph. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Penny. I live at 5200 Dove Court, which is the other property that abuts to this area in front of the green space there. I'll keep it brief because, like you said, many of the things are the same. My concern, what I'd like to address is the potential for noise nuisance. You guys visited the property?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, okay, so my house is the two-story, and I already have a six-foot fence. And you're able to see my kitchen, living room, dining room, and three bedroom windows from easily from the area I walked out approximately where the last speaker would be for the drive-through, because the drive-through speakers will be to the, in this drawing, the drive-through speakers are at the south, yes. Not where the drive-through window is. So I think there's a big potential for noise nuisance. And I checked with all the McDonald's locations on the Iowa Quad Cities. 71% of them are open 24/7, the drive-through window. So I think it's reasonable to think, I posed the question at the meeting and someone posed the question again here, and we're not sure of the hours. And I think it's reasonable to think that that might be an expectation that they would be open 24/7. Unfortunately, I have those three-bedroom windows and a six-foot fence I don't think is a buffer to the noise that might come through those speakers. And I have a high school student that, you know, would sleep out one of those windows. I'm not sure how we could mitigate that kind of noise. And again, what time would the trash be picked up? You know, if that's in the middle of the night, delivery trucks and all those things are potential noises. I work nights, so I know all about sleep deprivation, and I'm very concerned about sleep deprivation and being able to be a student and be able to function during the day for my son. No other Bettendorf business has 24/7 drive-up window that would be abutted to residential area. And I think that the noise created between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. would make us reasonably think that we can't get uninterrupted sleep at all. So I would encourage you to consider that point. And the other businesses that are in our direct area close at 10 p.m. so they don't create noise after that. Again, I would ask that businesses in that area would be of the similar nature.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Hi, my name is David Fenton. My wife Michelle and I live at 5182 Dove Court, also one of the surrounding neighbors in that area. First of all, thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak to you about some of our concerns, and they're very legitimate and come from the heart and the passion that we need your help on. First of all, I do want to let you know I am totally against the development of a McDonald's abutting any residential property. There are several areas which have we've spoken to that would be more appropriate and do not abut a residential property in the city of Bettendorf. There are multiple issues associated with this, including the impact of traffic, which we haven't spoken much of this evening, the congestion, the obvious noise issues that you heard Penny speak of, the smell and the odor that the Browns have pointed out, litter, and then congregations of youth. Currently, Bettendorf has, the best that I could attest, at least 7 fast food restaurants. 2 McDonald's, 1 Hardee's, a Burger King and Arby's, a Taco Bell, and 1 Wendy's. None of the current fast food drive-up restaurants in Bettendorf are abutting residential property that is intended to remain residential per the comprehensive plan for future land use that was defined in the year 2000, with the exception of this request tonight. I'd also then like to make a few comments regarding the staff analysis. I think they did a nice job trying to capture all of the issues, but I do think they misspoke and misrepresented 2 items. On section 21.10.e of the code states that no special use permit may be granted unless 9 standards have been evaluated, which the staff presented with you this evening. Paragraph 3 of those standards specifically references location and size of the proposed use and the location of the site with respect to streets giving access to it, that they will be in harmony with the appropriate and orderly development of the district. Specifically on this topic, I think the staff mentioned in their write-up, access to this site from Falcon Avenue only will reduce the congestion on 53rd Avenue. I would beg to differ to that conclusion. According to most successful fast food drive-up designs and restaurants, they target to have 80% of their sales happening through the drive-up. And if you do an analysis relating to the 3 key periods that these restaurants try to grow, their lunch or their breakfast time period, they see between 50 and 100 customers during that time. During lunch, it will span anywhere from 2 to 300 customers on a per-hour basis. And then in the dinner evening hours, between 150 and 300 customers per hour. A total over a typical 12-hour day, if they were only open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you're looking at more than 1,000 customers through that particular restaurant. Given the location of this McDonald's, there are no sidewalks. It's in an area that's very well destined to be drive-up use only, with some people going into the store, but more than half of those customers will come through the drive-up. If you do those numbers, you're looking at an automobile on average every minute driving into that area. So I would beg to ask, why haven't we asked McDonald's to provide us any traffic information for this particular area? Nor have we asked them to provide customer volumes to help you make decisions such as its complexity or the way it would integrate to the surrounding communities. Most, if not all, of these vehicles will enter this area from 53rd and onto Falcon Avenue. That will create congestion at that intersection. I drive 53rd Avenue every day, multiple times to and from work. It is a very, very congested road. Recently, we've been in contact and communication with the city of Davenport regarding the rezoning of the land immediately east of this area, which is the Sophie Foster farmland. that group acknowledged and the city of Davenport acknowledged they have a significant issue with the intersection at Amesbury and 53rd. And that is a residential intersection that is not lit, no stoplights. So they've acknowledged it is a dangerous intersection and they need to put plans in place to address it. One of those plans that were put in place was the redesign of the Sophie Foster area, which, by the way, is a combination of residential with office transitional space, that there will be a stoplight designed into the Lakeview intersection. One of the topics that came out of the discussions pertained to why they wouldn't put a stoplight at Amesbury and 53rd. And what was revealed to the citizens and the community at that time was that it was too close in proximity to the stoplight at, what's that road? Utica Ridge and 53rd. So they could not put a stoplight there. What we are creating, if you allow them to build a McDonald's with a drive-through and you give them a special use permit, you're creating that same dangerous condition at Falcon and 53rd. And that is not in the best interest of, you know, not only the restaurants and the people or the citizens of Bettendorf. I do sympathize with the property owners that own the lots where McDonald's is attempting to acquire, as well as the other lots that are adjacent to the residential property. I believe Dave pointed out that land was never intended to have commercial C2 abutting residential. But unfortunately, a mistake that occurred 20 years ago, we're being asked to address today. A more appropriate zoning for that property would be an office transitional C5. But unfortunately, if the property owners don't request that rezoning, it would be very difficult for anyone to impose that. One potential solution to this problem would be to ask the city to acquire that property, which buffers the residential with that commercial, and to rezone it as a commercial office space. That does two things. It allows those property owners an opportunity to gather back some of their investment, but then also allow commercial development to occur with less intensive uses such as the office or the restaurants that are being asked for today. One comment that I will make, since there is currently no protection defined other than the request that they're having from you today to grant them a drive-up, that drive-up exception is our only protection today. They could put a restaurant there without a drive-up and we wouldn't have a lot of say about it. But you have the opportunity to say no and protect the residents by saying no drive-up. The lack of a buffering zone is not consistent with the goals of the city currently, and that's created this difficult position. In fact, the rezoning was a mistake. It was a wrong decision that occurred nearly 20 years ago and created today's problem. Now a special variance is being requested that will make that previous mistake even worse. This is a classic issue of two wrongs do not make a right. I would like to just conclude a couple of the topics that you've heard. You on this Board of Adjustment have the responsibility to deny this petition and to protect the abutting and area residential properties. Again, there are no current drive-up restaurants in Bettendorf that abut residential property that is intended to remain residential per the comprehensive future land use plan. None. This would be the first. There is no stoplight at 53rd and Falcon. This issue and the danger that it creates exists currently just a few hundred feet from an existing condition that we are aware of at 53rd and Amesbury. If you approve this request, you would create a significant entry-exit point at 53rd Avenue that would be dangerous and not in line with sound development goals of Bettendorf. 53rd and Falcon is a side street and not a major intersection. I do not understand how this issue was not identified and presented to you prior to now. McDonald's has not been asked or have they provided any information regarding the number of anticipated customers or the traffic that would be anticipated in this area. I'd also like to point out that this particular land is the location of the Welcome to Bettendorf sign. So our approval of allowing a McDonald's here signifies a message to people that come into Bettendorf, this is what we are about. Also, the two drive-up speakers are directly pointed at residential homes less than 125 feet away from their location. This is a nuisance noise issue and would impact the homeowners by causing them to keep their windows shut. Typical speakers, these squawk boxes, are measured in the 60 to 70 decibel level. At approximately 100 to 150 feet away, that would be equivalent to 50 to 55 decibels. That's just below the normal level of conversation. This will impact the value of the residential property. Anything that affects the desirability of a location will impact the value of that property. Having a McDonald's directly in the rear yard of your home does negatively affect the desirability and thus its value. This special drive-up variance will unreasonably diminish or impair established property values with the surrounding area. There was a mistake made. It was a wrong when the Dove Court in this area was rezoned in 1992. Don't make another wrong by approving a fast food drive-through abutting a residential home. Again, let me repeat, two wrongs do not make a right. We ask, and I ask, that you please deny this special use petition for a drive-up window.
All right, thank you.
Did you have a comment, Bill?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, point of clarification, one of the first things we ask for as city staff when McDonald's approached us about possibly looking at this site was that we do a traffic study. The city commissions a traffic study, so it's impartial, and the traffic study is paid for by the developer. Traffic study did not indicate that a traffic signal was required at the intersection of Falcon and 53rd.
Okay, we've heard a lot, and I know some of the board members are under a time constraint here, so unless there's someone else that has something new to add, I think we've heard a lot tonight, and I guess it's our turn to act now. Anybody else have any other comments that they feel that's really necessary? If not, how's the board feel?
I would ask if the applicant's got any responses to anything that's been said tonight. You asked for that permission to do so. Do you have anything? Okay.
This has been a controversial area since 1992 or whenever it was, when the developer couldn't sell commercial property or zoning what it was zoned for, and came to the council and asked for it to rezone for residential. Now we have residential there, and you folks bought the places. You knew what was going to be behind you. It's commercial, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's just like any place in town. You don't know what you're going to get in the next lot to you. You just can't control it. So.
Okay, any others?
I'd add my thoughts is that a lot of what was said here is just a general desire not to have a fast food restaurant in the neighborhood, and I totally appreciate the concerns that everybody expressed, and if I was in your shoes, I'd probably be doing the same thing. Most of what you were said tonight is not part of our decision making tonight. It's really related to the special usage permit, and some of you made highlighted that, and I appreciate you doing that. As far as the special use permit, the things that concern me, I think, were the traffic pattern, the traffic congestion, the hour usage, and lastly the noise issue. And I'd ask the applicants, and that's why I asked you if you had any rebuttals or responses. I'm curious to know, with technology today, and some of the restaurants today are going more away from the audio and going to the video on what the order was and stuff like that to kind of mitigate the amount of audio conversation. Is that the intent here with this McDonald's, or do we know enough at this point?
I'm Ross Yeshik, and we do try to direct the speakers as much as we can to avoid any type of conflict with neighboring properties. That's what's done in this case. The screening that we'll use on the property borderline, that will also hopefully mitigate some of that. But this is no different than most of the other ones in the Quad Cities right now.
What kind, did you have a, somebody, the prior person indicated what they believed was how many decibels of noise one could expect. Do you have any data on that yourself?
I don't have that with me. I can obtain that. We did, I can tell you this, historically we did try doing face-to-face where you actually ordered from a person. I think a couple of them in Davenport had that for a while. It didn't work out very well, and so we went back to the speaker system.
I'd ask the staff if you guys, anybody gave any consideration to the noise aspect during your deliberations.
The graphic before you, there are two developments on Devil's Glen Road that have, and I appreciate the term here, I didn't know what to call it, the squawk box, I thought was
speaker.
The first being Burger King, and I measured that at being 137 feet away from the established home there. And the other one is the newly developed car wash, and all of those, as you approach the car wash, you get in, although it's not a speaker to a person, it's an electronic voice, and actually that's considerably louder from our observation, and that's 154 feet away from home there.
Closest. Any complaints being generated by the neighbors?
I haven't
received. I'm not aware of anything.
No, sir.
Okay.
Well, I guess in terms of the sound, someone did a calculation on what the decibel level would be by the time it reached a home. Did you consider the fact that there's probably going to be an automobile or a truck between your home and that speaker when the sound's emanating from it, because it would only happen when someone was actually in front of it ordering? Or is that just blind? Because that can muffle a lot of sound too, so that might help you. Because I don't hear those speakers anywhere in town.
Yeah, I can't say I've been in a situation where I've heard it either. Well,
I think with the, unless you got something to say.
No, go ahead.
I think that given the totality of the situation and what is being asked of this board tonight to approve the special permit for the drive-up window, I just don't see a preponderance of evidence to suggest that we should deny this request. So with that said, I'd make a motion to approve the applicant's request.
I'll second it, Your Honor.
Okay, we have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Just one more point of clarification, Mr. Chairman. They're very well versed. I was impressed with the code. And I can see where there would be a misinterpretation. This is not a drive-in restaurant. A drive-in restaurant is something that's like, what's the one on Elmore? I can't think of the name of it right now. Sonic, thank you very much. That's a drive-in restaurant per code. So that was the only clarification.
Mm-hmm. I look at the code in chapter or section 5, and find that.
Okay.
Where does it say?
We have a motion.
It's just where somebody shows up and take your order for an outside person.
I think the board appreciates that this is a drive-up in the traditional sense that we're all mostly see around the city. So I think you're okay that we're not misinterpreting anything here.
Okay, we have a motion. It's been seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11-009. Thank you for coming. Moving on to, you have to leave, Norm? Okay. Moving on to case B, case 11-010 at 4513 Stonehaven Drive. This is an R2 district, a request for a variance from the required established setback from 39 feet to 25 feet to allow for construction of a garage, submitted by George and Tony Hollis. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the intersection of Stone Haven Drive and Crow Creek Road, as displayed before you. The applicant would like to place an additional garage structure towards Wendy Court side. This is somewhat unique. It does have three front yard setbacks due to the fact that it fronts three street frontages. Therefore, I have to consider this to be a front yard request. This is an R2 area. Normally, 25-foot front yard is all that's required, and this would be at the 26-foot level. However, there is a section of the code that talks about the established setback, and because this involves the court, I have to average the number of the front yard setbacks there, and now the required setback is 39 feet. If allowed, it would be at the 26-foot mark, which is exactly the same as the next-door neighbor right here. In 1997, the board approved a front yard setback for a 6-foot fence along Crow Creek Road. Due to the three frontages that I've discussed, and also the board had a desire to secure the swimming pool with a fence of sufficient height and felt it would not detract from the neighborhood. The minimum square footage for an R2 is 8,400 square feet. Even after subtracting all three front yards from this lot, there still remains 9,000 square feet of buildable area. Therefore, staff cannot cite a hardship to justify the second variance on this property. I believe that's a summary of the request before you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Is the applicant here wishing to make any comments?
I need to go back.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, I'm George Hallis. I live at 4513 Stone Haven Drive. Here for seeking approval for a garage addition to the house, an attached garage addition. The only thing I've got to comment on the addition is I was somewhat surprised about the 39 feet versus 25, but I can appreciate that's what it is. It's an attached garage which mocks the view at that end of the house, so the house and the structure look very similar, and would just seek the approval for this addition to the house.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak either in favor of it or in opposition? Okay. Any comments from the board?
In one sense, I agree with what John said, that there is no visible hardship here, but if you look at the quality and the type of structures in the neighborhood and the various setbacks there's a very strong variation from 26 feet up to 52 feet, so there really isn't anything set in stone. And just like John said, the average is 39 feet. Personally, I don't have any particular problem with this thing. I am a little bit concerned that the structure, not so much because of the setback, which is what we're here to approve or disprove, but I'm concerned that the structure is going to be such that that whole complex is going to overwhelm the neighborhood and look like the Biltmore, you know, as far as amount of square footage and housing and structure. But that's not for us to make a judgment on. So at the end of the day, I would support this request.
Okay. Dave, you got anything?
I have a question. Normally, when we look at add-ons for garages, we talk in terms of the percentage of square footage of garage to house.
I've been in considerable discussions with the contractor, and they will not be violating the 40% rule. This house has enough that they can go over the 720 square feet. Some of the area will be designated non-vehicle storage area, so it will meet the code.
Okay. Someone like to make a motion?
I would make a motion to approve the applicant's request, case 11-010.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? being a board of only three members now, if there is one dissenting vote, then it would be voted down. And right now, we're lacking a second.
Dave, what's your reservations?
I guess as I look at this, I'm a little concerned with the overpowering, the same concern you had, is the overpowering appearance of this and blocking out of the next house and what we've got going there, the relationship between the two. It just, I'm really trying to put myself in that position and know that as an exception. I guess there's a question I have is it appears there would be plenty of room for a garage addition up beside the garage that you have now. And I guess, so I'm kind of interested as to the, if that's not possible or if that's just something that doesn't work for you.
I'd talked with the neighbors about the garage, and if it moved back where it was adjacent to that, that puts it up against the kitchen window, which is in the yellow area right there, and then that area between the corner of the kitchen window and the breakfast room is pretty narrow, so then from the breakfast room you look out to a wall that's immediately adjacent to the breakfast room.
Okay, so that's something you did consider.
Yes, I did, and we looked at several options and different designs, and I hadn't received any opposition from any of the neighbors that I'd spoken to.
Okay, well, I think we, you know, you may not have evidenced it in the last case that was here, but we certainly do like to listen to that and give creed to it and consideration to it.
Certainly.
So
that was my tiebreaker in there with my reservations was, the neighbors don't seem to have a problem with it, and there's a large variation in the neighborhood, and that seems to be the type neighborhood they're looking for.
Well, and I guess from my point, Mr. Chairman, if given the response we've got and the fact that we have no objection, you know, and that the alternatives have been considered, I guess that I'm more comfortable with seconding this.
Okay, we have a motion, and it has been seconded to approve case 11-010. Any further discussion? Not all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11-010. Anything else to come before the board?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you for coming, everyone.
Thank you.